And we are live. So good morning, dear listeners, Pineapples, Fruit Loops, Breeder Community members, the whole wide world. It is episode 10 of our Peeling Potatoes podcast. We've made it to the first landmark. We are now in double digits, Janita. Should we celebrate this?
Yes. Woo!
Okay. And to mark our 10th week birthday, I'm really, really excited and happy to welcome Aishat as the first person from outside the breeder community to tell us her story, to tell us what she does and why she does it. Aishat lives in Abuja, the capital city of Nigeria. Yeah, that's basically it. Aishat, welcome to our Peeling Potatoes podcast.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank and Janita, and to everyone listening. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Who are you?
Thank you.
Can you say a few words about yourself?
Yeah, I'm deeply honored to be part of Peeling Potatoes because I actually love the name, because this is what I do really. I peel back the layers of midwifery, of womanhood, of silence and underneath. Because underneath you find stories, you find real stories, raw stories, and often unspoken. My name is Aishat Adeyemi, and I'm a married woman. I have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. So both under 5. Yeah. So I am currently working in an hospital, but currently I'm on my annual leave, and I'm a storyteller. I'm a woman advocate. Anything that has to do with advocating for women, I'm always there. Yeah. So that's just a very small thing about me. Thank you.
Aishat, should I leave the room?
No. Because I believe when we talk to women, we talk to nations. Women encompasses more. Because when we look after a woman, when we advocate for women, it's just like we are advocating for a household. You inclusive, Frank. So that is my belief, actually.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to stay. But actually, on a very serious note, my now 88-year-old mother, who lives in the same house as my wife and I do, she once actually said something many, many decades ago. She said, it's not women that need to be liberated, it's men. And so my upbringing was always focused that women have an equal say and an equal status in the household, and in society, and men need to learn this, not the women. They already know this. It's the stupid men who need to move forward on this front. Do you agree with that one, Janita, or
can I invite Jean to join us?
You may, if he wants to. Okay. Aishat, let's start with the basics. You work in a hospital in Abuja. Are you actually a midwife, or what is your role?
I'm a nurse midwife. There's something like that in Nigeria. I basically qualified as a midwife, mm-hmm. but out of so much interest, out of adding more qualifications to myself, I went for a nursing program also. So I'm a nurse midwife. That is my jurisdiction.
Okay. So can you describe a little bit what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis? Paint us a picture of your working life or your working day.
Okay, so as I said earlier, my name is Haishat. I'm a nurse midwife, a storyteller. I also founded a community on LinkedIn and on social medias, but and beyond, a growing community and a digital brand that centers women's voices through every stage of their reproductive journey, from fertility to pregnancy to postpartum to personal healing. And I began my journey. My journey began from when I started working. That was when I qualified, 2017. I started working in hospitals where beds were full, but the stories were buried. A whole lot of stories where women labored, not just in pain, but in silence. And I quickly learned that midwifery isn't just about, about catching babies, because that is what comes to most people's mind when they hear of midwife. So it's not just about catching babies. It is about holding space for grief, for joy, for shame, for fear, and saying, talking to a woman and saying, "You are not alone. I am in this with you." So that awareness grew in me like a seed. I realized that even though I was saving lives, there were so many lives that were living unheard. Their stories was unheard. So there were women that are afraid to speak about their postpartum depression, about their experiences in life. There are a lot of mothers carrying silent griefs, silent conditions, miscarriages, infertility. And there are a lot of girls that are absorbing myths about their bodies. And I thought, what if we created a space where stories heal, educate, and empower? So from this was how I birthed my brand, which is Birth and Beyond. And it was born not just, as a name, not just for the fun of it, but as a movement. So this my platform now allow me to share stories, reflections, health truths, and advocacy pieces across social media channels. Because if there is something I strongly believe in, an empowered woman, an informed woman, sorry, is an empowered one. And I've been using this storytelling method to make maternal and reproductive health more visible, more human, and more understandable. So what drives me, what keeps me going really, is the belief that maternal health is not a woman's issue. It is not. It is a human issue. Because when we center around women, when we build stronger families, we are going to be, when we center around women, we are going to build stronger families, stronger societies, and also a stronger future for ourselves. So I tell stories, I do tell stories that blend, heartbreak with hope. I speak of stories, I speak of postpartum depression like it is real, because it is actually real. And I also speak of infertility, infant loss, unsafe traditions, a whole lot of unsafe traditions and healing choices, not to shame anyone really, but to help us see the deeper insights. And as my voice grows, I actually want to do more. Birth and Beyond is expanding into, and educational tools, a digital resources, and hopefully I'm aiming more. Hopefully in the near future, I want it to go into community-led events that can bridge both professionals and everyday people. That gap, I'm trying my best to try, is part of my future plans. And that is why this opportunity with Breeders Peeling Potatoes matters so much to me, because your platform is rooted in something beautiful. Yeah, it's rooted in something beautiful, which is truth telling, being your authentic self, real relationship, real conversations, emotional honesty, And I believe we can actually do something meaningful together, whether it is creating a mini series, on maternal mental health, collaborating on community dialogues, or simply amplifying the quiet voices that I carry with me. So I believe Breda and Birth and Beyond share one core purpose: to peel back the layers until all that is left is humanity. I don't know whether I'm right, but I feel that is yeah, that is it. To be seen raw, whole, and seen. So thank you again. Thank you so much once again for inviting me into this space. I'm here not just to speak, but to sow something. And if we do it together, I strongly believe the impact will go far beyond birth. Thank you so much.
Wow. I am excited.
Thank
This
you so
this Aisha, the power and the passion that you have just said, I'm sorry, I'm blown away. This is so powerful. What do you
Yes.
think, Rita,
I'm glad.
from a from a female point of view as well?
Yes. That is very, very powerful. So I've been thinking about like a friend of mine. Last year, she actually struggled to get pregnant, and she was kind of she withdrew herself from everyone around her because of this. And she went to doctors, and then they also diagnosed her with also PCOS, and then also like insulin resistance, and there was something else as well. And when she actually got the right treatment, she fell pregnant. So now she has a baby. But if there was someone who could actually, like, she could talk to, like with Aishat and what Aishat does, I think she would have maybe a better mindset. So I think it's really not just for my friend, but there's a lot of women out there who struggle with the same problems.
A
So it's
whole lot.
really a whole lot, yes. Even my hairdresser also had problems.
Wow.
So, yes.
The African environment, I don't know whether it might be lesser in the Western world, but the African culture, especially in Nigeria, I don't know where it started from, but there is a lot of silence around women's health. A whole lot of
Yes.
overwhelming silence. The silence is overwhelming. Women, we are not being prepared for what is going to happen to us. Nobody is preparing us for it. We are just left to navigate it ourselves with no information, nothing. So we just navigate it so blindly without,
Yes.
without, and it makes the journey a lot more difficult, sincerely speaking. It makes it a lot more difficult when you don't, they are just, even our mothers, I think they were the one that participated in it. They made the silence. A Nigerian woman, is supposed to bear all the brunt by herself. The definition of a strong Nigerian woman is keeping quiet even at the front of, at the front of injustice. Keeping quiet, bearing all the brunt in the house without even giving herself, knowing that she needs to fill up herself. That is the definition of a strong Nigerian woman. So that is just what we are trying to, change, actually.
Yes.
I speak from personal experience, that when my daughter was born, she is now 34. My wife was about she was depressed after childbirth. I was present during childbirth. It is an experience one never forgets. And also in this particular instance, labor lasted 19 hours. It was very, very long. My wife was emotionally exhausted and pointed and almost rejected our daughter at first, and it took her quite a while to adapt and accept this small bundle of life that was there all of a sudden. Well, not all of a sudden, but it was there. And I also think that I still remember the when I drove home after everything had been done, and I drove home. This sense, this enormous sense of responsibility, sort of hit me full force, and I said, "Wow, it's not two, it's three. You've got to look after this. You've got to look after this kid, and it's going to grow and become an adult, and you are now responsible for this." Yeah. What Aishat, you talk about the almost the oppression or suppression of women in this whole part. And like I said at the beginning, it's the men who need the education. So I'm going to take a male perspective because that's the only perspective I can actually honestly and authentically produce. How would you say men should be educated in this whole process?
You see, even if you follow my LinkedIn post, I'm a woman advocate, but me advocating for women is I am advocating for women to the male gender. Do you understand? I'm giving the woman a supportive presence, yes, but I'm also doing more. I'm using my platform to advocate more for the male gender. Do you know the and I feel men can actually participate more because, like, I will keep on referencing Nigeria because that is what I've grown up, that is where I grew up, and that is the men there are what I'm being used to. So understand that. Okay, so Nigerian men, for example, if they grew up and they saw their moms tolerating a particular thing, it might be bad really from maybe their father, they would feel it is really, that is the right way to do things. Nobody, to enlighten them on the right way to do things. A lot of men, like for example, during pregnancy, I have had series of cases, not one, cases that disturbs my heart, not once, of men not being involved in their partner's pregnancy. Thank you, Frank, you were involved, at least you were involved for your wife's own, but not many women were that lucky at all. With the pregnancy, with the emotional roller coaster of the pregnancy, with the afterbirth also. In Nigeria, they usually feel okay after delivery, then it's for the woman to, to just navigate and sort herself out. Some men are actually trying better. Yes, I cannot rule all of them out, but majority, I can tell you, majority, they just leave the women to know bear their brunt. So you see them, and the women also, they were trained to, take everything, be in charge of everything, even at your own expenses. So at the end of the day, you end up running into depression. It brings signs, but nobody to listen because at your own, you are there caring for everybody at your own expenses. So from the question you have, I just hope men can be more, they can pay more attention to women really during this pregnancy to know that the journey of parenthood is not for only the person carrying the pregnancy. She's birthing life. So at least if there is nothing to offer her, the most important thing we can offer her is support. Support. We cannot over underestimate that. Support.
So I have to say, I agree with Aisha. Not all men are like that. But it kind of reminds me of years ago, maybe my grandparents or maybe before them, like great grandparents. But it was quite similar. So the wife would get pregnant. She would go through this whole scenario alone, and the man would kind of think that maybe she has an illness, avoiding them, or letting them do their own thing. They have to go to the doctor's visits. They have to go to the hospital, to deliver the baby and everything by themselves. But these days, in modern times, I've actually noticed it more and more. There's a lot of men who's more supportive and more caring, and they will go to the doctor's visits. They are excited, even more excited than the women, to go to the doctor's visits to look at the sonars and the scans and things. And then with most of the workplaces, they offer paternity leave. So once the baby is born, dad can also be at home for a couple of days or however long he wants, to spend time with the baby and also bond with the baby. But years ago, that wasn't the case. And I think that is kind of a mindset that was stuck in some parts of South Africa. It's still the same, that the men are not supportive, or they don't really care. But in most parts, that has changed. If I take my husband, for example, like I know what he was like. Caring, supportive. He was there when Aiden was born, and he was actually the one to wake up at night to give Aiden a bottle, or to change his diaper, or to put him to bed. So I think it all depends on maybe mindset.
Exactly. Yes, mindset. I myself, I have a very supportive spouse, really. I have a very supportive spouse. And if you don't see other perspective, you might think, that is how every other spouse is supportive. But I've seen stories, a lot of stories, even with the fact that my husband knows throughout the pregnancy. Sometimes the men is not that they don't want to do it. It is because sometimes they don't know they are supposed to do. That is why we keep advocating for the women to carry their husbands along. It's not most times, sometimes it's not that, I don't know whether you get that my point. It's not that they don't want to do it. It is that they don't know they are supposed to do it. Yeah,
Okay.
so I think carrying them along, I have a supportive spouse, pregnancy, delivery, but I've also listened to stories, a whole lot of stories that breaks my heart, really. So I also agree with what you said. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah, no, please go ahead.
So Aishat, if I can ask, what is the average age that women in Nigeria start having babies?
Nigeria, right? Nigeria has three main divisions. We have the northern part, which is mainly comprises of the Hausas. We have the western part, which is mainly where consists of the Yorubas, and we have the southern, which is the Igbos. Those are the under these divisions, we still have a whole lot of divisions, but those are the three main divisions we have. Sorry, I meant divisions, please. So those are the three main divisions we have. So in the Hausa region, the women, they marry a bit very early, and we actually advocate against that. And I'm glad some of them that I know, they are changing the narrative, really. Some of them marry as early as 14, 13.
Wow.
And we are advocating, most of them, with the on with the onset of schooling, education, education changes a whole lot of things, because
Yes.
even medically, it is not allowed, because their reproductive tract is not even well matured to carry the stress of pregnancy. So it happens a lot, but we you know, at least it's still happening really, but you know, just like the way Janita said, I think the majority, they are trying to change the narrative. But from the for the Yorubas, the average is, let's just say, 23, let's say to 30, just average. And the Igbos also, let's say 25 to 30, so something within that range. Yeah.
Okay. So, isn't there a law that states you are not allowed to marry before 18 or 19 years?
Unfortunately, we don't have it here. Unfortunately, we don't have it here in Nigeria. If you're 18 years old, wants to get married now, fine and good, push. We don't have that in Nigeria.
Yeah. South Africa has a law. You are not allowed to get married before you turn 18.
That's an amazing law, really. That's really an amazing law, really. That's an amazing law. At least it will keep people in check. We keep it
Sometimes. So
in
for the marriage part, yes, it keeps them in check, but there's still a lot of problems with teenage pregnancies happening in schools, high school, maybe 15 years, 16 years, 17, 18 years. So I actually heard a discussion on the radio some time ago, maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, where they discussed the teenage pregnancies in schools and how they are trying to educate the kids in school, what to do and what not to do. Like using protection or going to the clinic to get birth control. So they want to make this available to girls, especially in school, because like you mentioned as well, education is important. So they are trying to teach the kids in school what to do and what not to do, but some of them, well, they don't listen.
Yeah, there will always be some, you know, that would not yield. Yeah.
Yes. Frank, what is it like there in Europe?
Frank
Well,
has been unusually quiet, really.
He's listening. He's paying close attention to what we are talking about.
Yeah.
This is what makes this discussion, I think, so unique, because it works on two levels. Yeah, so it works on the personal level,
Yes.
the role of women, and what women in Nigeria and I would hazard a guess, Aishat, Nigeria is not the only country in Africa that has this has to deal with this kind of problem that you are facing and working to solve. And I think so that's the personal level, but on a societal level, on a I listen to these stories, and yes, teenage pregnancies happen in Europe. There is education available through a whole diverse range of ethical and unethical choices, if we can phrase it that way, maybe. But what I think is really important to highlight is that in Europe, we have an entire infrastructure based around women, support structure based for women who are pregnant. Yeah, there are regular doctor's visits. The husbands are, not to say forced to join, but are very, very much encouraged to participate. You have all the medical services available. You have the first scans. You see the fetus for the first time. It is a memorable moment for the couple. The heartbeat, you hear that for the first time. You get the pictures of the scan. So there's a you have then antenatal classes where husbands are also or partners are encouraged to join so that they can support their wives. The government or the health authorities provide so much that it's almost impossible to have this kind of experience that you are fighting against, Aishat. And this is, and the contrast of what is normal in Europe and what is different in other countries, we need to also, increase this awareness because we have in Europe something that you in Nigeria are desperately aspiring towards. Nigeria is not a poor country. Yeah. It is a very rich country. So you cannot argue that there is no money. Yeah. The money is just being pushed in other directions. And so through education and the right infrastructure, I listen to these stories and I listen to what Janita says. Okay, so there you have a more legal structure, but Janita and I have been comparing healthcare systems, and
Yes.
it's even from my perspective, it's frightening. And South Africa is further down the road than many other countries, but still not where it should be. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's my perspective, Aishat. So not just the personal, but also the societal. Maybe you can shed some light on this, because you are one person fighting for the rights of women for a fair, for fair treatment. One out of I don't know how many, I think 100 million Nigerians or something like this. You are gathering pace. Paint us the picture of what you would like to see at the end of the day, not just from a woman's perspective, from a personal perspective, but what should a government, a federal government or a state government in Nigeria and the relevant health authorities actually provide pregnant women and their partners?
Thank you, Frank. Okay, so I agree with you. Initially, I agree with you totally with what you said, that the major difference is the fact that, in Europe, there are standard hospitals and facilities available for them, for the women to access. So the effect does not really, show face like here in Nigeria, where we don't even have emergency services for women. Like a woman will have like a condition at home now, and you expect an ambulance in the next 2 minutes, no, or 5 minutes. That has not been in place at all. It is not done. And if it is going to be done, it has to be, it's not, when I'm talking of women, I'm not talking of the I'm not talking of I'm not talking of the rich ones. I'm talking of the average woman. In fact, the poor ones, the ones in the community, the ones with little or no access, to privileges. That is the women I'm talking of. And I just believe we can all do better in heaven, not even as the not even the government. Before we come to the government side, as a human, we can do better. How can we do better as a woman to woman? Most of the things is when women, they are experiencing things and they keep being extreme silent. Everybody is just, being, I feel when we speak out, it's not something that someone can just do. We need a group of people or just people speaking out, letting people know that this is what, we are passing through. And also, the men, yeah, the other gender, if they can be more compassionate. Just as you said, I am looking forward to a society, a community where parenting acting will not feel like a woman's job only, where women can have adequate support, not just during pregnancy, but just for being a woman. Where women are given voices to speak and share their stories with compassion. And I'm looking forward to a society where the government can really empower women. When we can empower them with health, even health empowerment, taking charge of their health, not until things have gone astray, things have gone beyond damage before they start seeking help. There is something as prevention. Prevention is always better than cure. We don't have that preventing system in Nigeria. We don't have it. Checking for cervical cancer. I know there's a because at least if I don't have anybody in Europe, if I have not been to Europe, and yes, I have actually been to Europe. I went on a self-sponsor. I went to UK last year on a self-sponsorship route. Yeah, though I'm no job searching there. I've not gotten a job really, but I'm a registered midwife in the UK actually. Yeah,
That's good. That's
so
good.
yeah, so and when I went there, I've seen how they sort of do this system of sending women a reminder to come for like for a pap smear test to check for cervical cancer. We don't have it here. We don't have any preventing system here. The only system we have here is when you are sick, and sometimes sickness does it does not even show. It shows when it is already so the damage has already gone so far. So, I have a lot really. I have a lot, but that is just the few I can speak. I have a whole lot. A whole lot. I
So,
just sincerely hope we can do better, really. I just sincerely hope.
is there really like no pap smear test available in Nigeria?
No, sorry, there is, but like a free one, reminding
Oh,
women
free, okay.
to come and do it. No, you have to just, and not many, some like now in the NHS in UK, when they send it to you, at least you want to go because they are sending you a reminder and it is free, so you want to go. But here there is nothing like that. It's only for the empowered, enlightened women. They are the ones that they know. A common Nigerian woman staying in an environment here does not even know what is pap smear, not to talk of going for the test. So we don't
Wow.
the ones we have are for the privileges, are for the ones are for the enlightened educational women. So there's nothing set in for the woman rooted in the community. Nothing.
So what we have here in South Africa, we have day clinics. So at these clinics, I think they do provide these tests for free. Sometimes they would do glasses as well, and then they have they call it mobile clinics. So they'll go to the outskirts, out of town, far out of town, to the farm side, like once a week, and then everybody can go there. You can get pain medication, you can get checked if you have flu or whatever. They also supply birth control for free that you don't have to pay for. So they have these set clinics all over, and then they have like traveling clinics. But it also reminded me of something. There's a group they call, or they are called, I Love Boobies. So they support breast cancer awareness. And for this, they sell merchandise mostly for cycling and running. So you can buy socks. It's usually brightly colored pink and blue socks, or a cycling shirt or running shirt, running socks with their logo that says, I love boobies. And they use this money to go to places where women don't have access to healthcare. To do breast cancer scans for free. So all the money that they raise through selling their merchandise, they use to go to different places to scan women for breast cancer, and also to teach them about breast cancer awareness. So they have these drives that they would do.
So that
Yeah,
leads me to.
not as you said, sorry, we also have it in Nigeria, but the fact is that it doesn't reach every corner. Do you understand? We also have some initiative. Sometimes some
Yes.
NGO comes in, to do that kind of, free family planning. Sometimes the government too, on a local level, they still try, but it's just that it's not meeting up. It's not meeting up for, you cannot just say, okay, all the women have the access to this. Do you understand? So it
Yes.
is there. It is not even reaching up to, up to an average of women, sadly. That is just it.
Yes. So not all of them, but I think the same happens here. I don't think they can reach everyone, even though they try. Frank, what did you want to say?
Well, no, I should answer my unspoken question about these. No, it's fine. These initiatives that South Africa has and that they
Yes.
are also available in Nigeria. While I'm digesting this conversation, and I wasn't, to be honest, quite prepared for the intensity of this topic. So I just want to go back to basics for one second, because I'm still, I'm a man. It takes a little bit longer for us to understand these things.
We are
I would like to know the, I don't even know if you can pinpoint it. The defining moment that set you on this path that you are now have
Yes.
embarked on, was it a personal experience, or was it simply all the impressions that you gathered as you were doing your work? How did this all start?
Sincerely speaking, Frank, I've been working as a midwife now, as a midwife at the bedside, at least for 8 years now. I've been working for 8 years. And all the experiences, and my nature of work, I've actually been fortunate to work in the northern side of Nigeria and the western side of Nigeria. I've I've been fortunate to work in both sides. And I can tell you, I have in this my 8 years, 8.5 years of experience, I have witnessed a whole lot of things that, that breaks my heart that bleeds out my heart. I have seen it all, So it's got to a point, okay, the reason why I started, let me just use an example of the reason why I started my Birth and Beyond platform. I started it 3 months ago. Yeah. So what caused it? I was at home when a friend called me. There's a particular pregnant woman. I didn't know she was pregnant, but a friend called me, but I know her. She was like a distant friend to my friend, So a friend called me and said, "We lost her." I was like, "Lost her? What happened?" I was alarmed. I was, my body was literally shaking. What happened? They said, yeah, she stayed at home, that they did not know, they were not informed. I said, what is going on? This is something that can be preventable. They lost her to, bleeding after delivery. What is going on? This is something that can be preventable. They said, and it was not the hospital fault. The woman actually went late to the hospital. She went late to the hospital. So by the time she got to the hospital, she was pregnant. She was in labor. She delivered at home. And, so in all of that, I noticed there was a breach in information. That is the only thing I noticed. There was a breach, a whole gap information. The right information was not given. So that is what I was just, having seen a lot for almost 8 years, going to 9 years now. Is this how we are actually going to continue? Something, at least from my own, I know I cannot do much, but from my own personal self, something has to be done. And that is why I created Birth and Beyond, to inform mothers. I feel, when she's at home, if she was informed on some signs, or some things that if she sees, she should go to the hospital immediately. If she was informed, if our family members were informed, even if she's trying to be adamant, I don't want to go to the hospital, I believe the family members will say, no, we don't want to lose you, let's go. So that is actually the reason why, because now as I speak, the woman is no longer, she's not in this world anymore, but she left two children, two whole children. She left a void. Our parents are still alive. She left the society. The children are they are not neglected, but there's that woman, that mother presence is not there anymore. So maternal mortality is, let me just say, it is what gets me started, and it is what is keeping me going. Because sincerely speaking, Frank, this is not actually an easy walk. Sometimes I just feel so, sometimes I feel, why am I doing this? I feel, is it really worth it? Will anybody listen to me? Will anybody hear me out? But when I remember that scene, when I remember that case, when I remember that a life was lost, when I remember that I'm also a mother and I'm also a woman, I feel the passion starts again. So that is what keeps me going, really. That is just it, really.
Well,
Thank you.
the passion travels
Yes.
north and south. Aishat, it's clearly audible. I actually want to I want to explain something, which now after having this conversation, I mean, I sort of found it a bit strange before, but now after this conversation, I find it even, well, I find it actually quite shocking. To become a doctor, so as you know, I live in France. And when we speak of Europe, there are several European countries and each have their own way of dealing with tertiary education, etc. Here in France, if you want to become a doctor, you have to go through several, let's call them for simplicity's sake, examinations. And if you pass one exam, you are qualified to move higher up the ladder. So that, for example, if you want to become a surgeon and you pass all the exams, and this is like you're allowed to do these exams twice, and if you do not pass the exam the second time, you're at that level, yeah, and you cannot become a surgeon, you become something much, much lower. And the system is so structured that the lowest form of medical education in the French Republic is midwifery. So you may want to become a surgeon, but if you do not have the skill set or the, yeah, let's call it the skill set, you may actually not make it further than becoming a midwife. The system degrades the role of midwives. Yes, they are important, but there is a certain degradation in this. And what you are doing is reversing this and saying, well, actually, this is probably one of the most important parts of a medical process because it involves everybody. Yeah. If you do not have qualified midwives, you do not have life. And that child that may not make it might have been a brilliant doctor in the future, But we don't know it, and no one will ever find out. And what I find, probably the biggest takeaway in this conversation, at least for me personally, is, and I really want to thank you for this, Aishant, is that you have highlighted the importance of midwifery and
Yes.
everything that goes around it. Because it is.
Like she mentioned, it's not just about catching babies.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, more than
It's more
that.
than that.
And again, it's all about awareness.
Yes.
I raise my hat to you.
You humble me, Frank.
No,
Thank
no,
you.
I'm not saying this for professional reasons. I'm actually saying this out of conviction. If anything, you have opened, of the 8 billion people on this planet, you have opened a set of male eyes. Okay, I'm 64, so I'm a little bit down the road, but you still, man, I'm still able to learn a few things, and you certainly opened my eyes. Janita, any comments before?
No. I'm half, so I know that things aren't always like comfortable for a lot of women out there. Like what you mentioned about the European system and how they support pregnant women. Here in South Africa, it's kind of divided into two. If you have a medical aid, you are okay. If you don't have a medical aid, you have to go to the government hospitals or clinics, and they aren't always as friendly. And then when it comes to having a midwife or giving birth at home, those kind of things are frowned upon. Not everyone think that that is normal, but in other countries, it's like Nigeria, it's kind of normal to give birth at home. And I have seen one car that was branded with the midwife and her telephone number and contact details and things here in my town, but I'm thinking more and more, I've never actually seen it, maybe because I don't need it, but I haven't actually seen many of them around. I know there's a lot of nurses, and some nurses specializes in different places or different things, but not really when it comes to midwives. So I have to do some research. That is something I don't know, but what Aishat is doing and trying to raise awareness and get people, women and men, to listen to what she has to say, how to take care of yourself during pregnancy, after pregnancy, and signs to look out for to save your own life or the baby's life. That's very important. Where here it's kind of supported by the medical care system, the same as in Europe.
So Aishat, how can people reach out to you? How can people learn more about what you do and about birth and beyond? You have a LinkedIn a profile, and I will certainly, if with your permission, attach this LinkedIn profile to the podcast. But how else can a listener of this podcast reach out to you and get in contact with you, learn more about what you do, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, as you said, feel free to attach my LinkedIn profile. Even on LinkedIn, we still have a community. We have a page, which is Birth and Beyond page here. Yeah? And also they can send me an email on birthandbeyondzero@gmail.com. I'm always, open to answering inquiries, collaboration, questions. Yeah. So just send me a DM. It's fine. Very fine. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll attach that. The clock is beginning to tick. Aishat, thank you for your time.
Yes.
Thank you for your voice. Thank you for the passion and determination in your voice. Gives me goosebumps.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Before I stop the recording, Aishat, you have the last word, and take as long as you need.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Sincerely speaking, I love opportunities like this, to voice my heart out. Sincerely, I think it's part of what gives me a relief, on the stories and traumas I carry. So thank you, Frank. Thank you, Janita, for giving me this space, for giving me this opportunity. I sincerely do appreciate you. And I hope we can have, more of these sections, in future. Thank you so much. And to everybody listening, really, I remain Aishat Adeyemi. Let's create a world where women are empowered with information. Thank you so much.
Pleasure is ours, and
Yes.
this is not the last conversation we will have, Aishat. I'm curious.
Yes.
I'm curious to learn more. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.